You're listening to the UCB Long Form Conversations podcast, in-depth conversations with performers and teachers from the best alternative comedy theater on the planet. This podcast is modeled on the improv form La Ronde, so the guest of our last episode becomes the host of this episode, and today's guest will become the host of our next episode. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center.
Warning. What you're about to hear is an extremely nerdy conversation about long-form improv comedy.
Welcome to the UCB Longform Conversations podcast from Los Angeles, California. I'm Julie Brister. I was a guest on the last episode, but today I am the host. And my guest today is the amazingly talented Santina Muha, who improv fans might know from UCB Team Landlord or from her solo show, That Girl in the Wheelchair, or from her appearances on Comedy Bang Bang, or from her stand-up appearance on season two of the UCB show on CISO. Welcome, Santina.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh my God, it's so good to see you.
You too.
So we're just going to get right into it. I want to know, how did you start improvising? Like, what was your entree into this crazy fucking business that we have here?
Well, I always loved acting. And when I was a little girl, I just did anything that was entertainment. You know, modeling. Mm-hmm. I worked for Tiger Beat magazine. I would interview teeny boppers like Justin Bieber and all those. Yeah. And then I worked for a nonprofit organization, so I did some serious journalism. But comedy was always my favorite, and I wanted to move out to LA, but I felt like, let me get involved in something so I stay, you know, because I feel like I wanted something that would make me stay here. So I signed up for a UCB class, and it was a intensive 101, so it was just 2 weeks. And I said, okay, let me just see how that goes. And then...
And was this at Meta?
It was at Artworks.
At Artworks, okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I signed up, and that was really fun. And then I had my 101 show on Saturday, and then Monday I started 201 intensive.
Because
I just loved it. And I thought, all right, let me at least do back-to-back intensives. Then I'll go home back to New Jersey for a little while and decide. Mm-hmm. But in the middle, somewhere between that, in that one day between 101 and 201, I fractured my femur. I know. As a matter of fact, I went to my first day of 201 class. And then from there, I went to the Cedars emergency room.
Oh, my God.
Because I didn't want to miss my first class because I felt like... I feel like whoever misses the first class is never like.
Oh, right. Yeah, it's the worst.
It's like weird, you miss that whole camaraderie thing.
Yeah, you're right.
So I had to go.
Oh, man, that is dedication.
I know.
I will say, as a teacher, I hate it when people miss the first day.
It
makes me nuts. So, but I would, I as much as I hate it, I would be like, oh, Santina, you can miss the first day because you broke your leg.
My teacher was like, I said, I'm pretty sure I have a fractured femur. It's fine. I'm going to go to the hospital after this. But, you know, just so everyone knows, just be careful. And she was like, okay. She was so scared. But we did the class, and then I went to the hospital, and I ended up having a fractured femur. So I got put in a cast.
Oh, my God.
I only missed one day of that two-week intensive, and I made it up. But But the thing was, because I was put in this cast, I wasn't able to travel back home for 3 months. Then I signed up for the 301 because I was in LA. So I did 201 and 301 in a cast.
Oh.
Yeah, my shows and everything.
And you weren't even permanent. So that's interesting. You weren't a permanent resident of LA. You were just here.
Mm-hmm. I was staying in a guest house. I was paying rent in a friend's guest house. And I feel like it was the universe's way of saying, stay here. Stay in LA. Mm-hmm. Keep doing this comedy thing. And I really liked it. And I felt like I'm pretty good at this. I felt like I was getting really good feedback. And, you know, I passed 401. I went straight into advanced. And I got a call back my first audition, my first mm-hmm. year auditioning. And I didn't make a team, but then I got a really nice...
Oh, I remember that.
You do?
Oh, I remember. Yeah, I remember your audition then. Because you were in one of the first groups.
Oh.
And they had to carry you up the
Yeah.
the stairs, which I'm sure is something you may be used to by now.
It is, but I will say how much I appreciate Sunset and all of the accessibilities. I'm in a wheelchair, just in case someone doesn't know. I mean, from the title of my solo show, you probably figured out, but just in case you're like, this girl is lazy, that's why.
She was so lazy. She was spent after that audition. They had to carry her back downstairs.
Right.
No, I remember. Yeah, I remember that. That was at that Groundlings rehearsal space.
Yeah, but I don't know. I really was having fun. I felt like encouraged. And then after I didn't make that team, I was put on an indie team with all these like amazing teachers and players. I was so excited and confused when I got the first email. I didn't say a word during our first show. I think I said like three things. That was it. But and then so throughout the years, I took some advanced classes and I just was always having so much fun doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And now ultimately I got my own apartment in Los Feliz and now I'm just like loving the LA life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And do you, do you do shows? What kind of improv shows are you doing now?
Right now I'm doing just indie stuff, or I'll sit in, on different whatever shows, play by play or whatever, you know. I'm also a storyteller, so I like to do that or be a monologist. And now I'm also doing stand up, so I'll go do one of the stand up. UCB has so many different formats. Mm-hmm. I'm on a digital sketch team, not a UCB one, but I do a lot of sketches. And sometimes I'll be an actor in a UCB digital sketch. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I love about this community. You don't have to be, on this team to be able to totally perform.
Right. You don't have to be on a Herald team to be a part of this community.
Totally. And when I didn't make a Herald team that first year, I was encouraged by some teachers to do a solo show, to put a solo show together. Mm-hmm. And Pam Murphy really helped me with that, and she directed it.
Oh,
and
Pam.
So, yeah. I mean, she really whipped me into shape. I was like, I kept saying, I'm not ready yet. And she's like, you're ready. You're doing this. You have to do it. And she really, guided me through it. I never envisioned. I always thought you had to be, Princess Leia, or you had to have been somebody already to do a solo show. You had to already be Whoopi Goldberg. I didn't know you could do one and no one knows who you are yet. I didn't know that.
So but Princess Leia's solo show would be...
No, she has one. You haven't seen it?
Oh, yeah. Carrie Fisher. Oh, I've seen Carrie Fisher's, but I'm thinking of Princess Leia's.
Oh, the character.
It would be just like her stories would be incredible thing. So let's talk about the community for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you were in the hospital last year for an extended period of time, which was a major, major bummer. So can you talk a little bit about that and how, I know that you had to have felt disconnected from UCB and disconnected from this place and from improv?
Well, actually, funny enough, I felt more a part of this community than ever during that time.
Really?
Really. And so moving to Los Angeles from New Jersey to the other side of the country and being in a wheelchair, one of the things that I was afraid of is being injured or finding myself in the hospital for a long period, which I haven't been in the hospital for a long period of time since I was 5 before this.
Wow.
So I don't know why I was worried about it, but it's just, it was a fear of mine. So it ended up happening. My fear came true. And it was just out of the ABC showcase. I had done the ABC talent showcase.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And
is that the diversity? The ABC diversity showcase?
Yeah, but it's like a talent. It's like a diverse.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was really fun. I was so excited to have done that. And then I had a surgery, outpatient surgery scheduled that went really wrong. And so I found myself in the hospital for a few months. And my family's not here, you know what I mean? And so, my friends in this community just stepped up. I was in the hospital for 82 days. Not one day did I not have a visitor. I had over 130 visitors. And most of them are UCB performers.
That's amazing.
I mean, it was crazy. I mean, and I really strengthened relationships with certain people that were just kind of acquaintances or, mm-hmm. co-stars, whatever you want to call them. They're your LA friends, your actor friends, your whatever. And now I'm like, no, these are my real friends. And, because it's hard when you're older to make friends in your new town.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like when we're little and we're in school and you're like, do you want to be my best friend?
Right.
You don't do that anymore. So I really got to see, who are my real, to Grey's Anatomy and who are my people, right? Yeah. And now I feel like I have some people and it feels really good. I feel safer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, people were Skyping me into, you know, like different, the New Year's party. They FaceTimed me in so I could see who was there. And, you know, I really wasn't, I felt like I was such a part of the community. No one was forgetting about me. And then as soon as I came out, there I was. I did Cage Match like a week after I came out. In fact, I took a Xanax because I still was having like social like anxiety from being in the hospital. I was like barely out of the hospital, and now I'm on stage, and I had to take a. But it went well. It was fine.
That is good. That's good to hear, to know, and to hear, because I know that how scary that has to be when you're so far and so disconnected from your family.
It was
to know that.
And
this
another thing that I
up.
Yeah, another thing that I loved that was surprising was the people who were visiting me. The conversations we were having were so good. It wasn't just like, oh, we're practicing for improv, or we're writing a sketch, or we're like, you know, doing these are five things. It was more like really having true conversations with people and actually getting to know people who I had only at that point known. Like, oh, I know they're funny. But now it's like, oh, I know, you know, we have these things in common or whatever. And it was like people were bringing me food. I mean, oh, my God. I can't even. And then after I got out, you know, then, you know, some people threw like a little welcome out part. Like, it was awesome. Mm-hmm. I can't like thank everybody enough. I mean, they were mailing me coloring books. People who were just like a fan of like the comedy I had already done, sending me cards. I felt so good. It was really, for such a terrible 3 months, I'm so happy it happened. It really, and another thing that it did is it pulled me into, it put some things into perspective. Because when you're in the UCB community, right, let's be real for a second, you can't really see what's going on around you sometimes. And this pulled me out and I was able to see it. And what's ironic is that just a month or two, no, I think a month before that, a friend of mine and I were both cut from a Herald team, from our Herald teams.
Yeah.
And we were hysterical crying, holding each other crying. And now, about a month later, the first day I was admitted into the hospital, that night she came to bring me some clothes and stuff. And, you know, I just had like a really awful breakdown at one point because they had told me I was going to be there for a while and this and that. And she was, I started crying and she was holding me and we were both crying. And it dawned on me like, oh my God. The last time we were crying this hard, it was because we got cut from a Herald team. And now I may die. You know, this is very serious. Jeez. And I didn't know what was going to happen. And it's like, it just put it into perspective. And not to say people shouldn't be sad or, you know, really feel their feelings, you know, when it comes to Heralds and stuff. But I just really was happy to have that perspective, you know?
And so soon after they did that shuffle, like that was, you're right. It was like within weeks.
Yeah.
It was right after, I remember right after that all happened. Because you were on a mess hall team.
Yeah, I got placed on a mess hall team after I was taken off Herald Night. And I had to, you know, take myself off.
Off of that.
Because I wanted to do it as best as I could so someone else could get on that team, and they did.
Well, that's highly illuminating. And let's talk about this for a second, because today was kind of a dreaded day at UCB, because we've just had Herald team auditions, and so we've just had our 216 shuffle, where some teams have been cut and some teams have stayed intact, and some people certainly have been shuffled around and moved around. And let's talk about this, because I come from a different point of view. I never had to audition for a UCB Herald team. I have been on teams that have been cut, but I think I always saw it coming. Mm-hmm. And you, as an auditioner and as a student and an improviser, you've been through a cut, which after being on a team for a year, I know feels devastating. So are there any words of advice that you could impart to people that are feeling a little pain?
Yeah, I feel like all of the words have been said and everything sounds cliche, but truly everyone is on their own path, you know, and that's for me what I feel like is really important for people to know. Because, I mean, you look at someone like, I don't know, you know, Abby and Alana, you know, the Broad City Girls, mm-hmm. and they were never put on teams, and now they have their show. Or you look at someone like Nicole Byer, who was cut, and then, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know how much of her journey is documented, but I'm pretty sure she, whatever it is, she has her own show now. You know what I mean? Whatever it is, I don't want to, none of my business, but whatever it is, she's not on a Herald team. Mm-hmm. You can cry about that all you want, but she has her own show on MTV. So mm-hmm. I think, like I said, it's okay to feel the feelings, but just today I put on as a Facebook status, I just want to remind everyone it's going to be okay.
Oh, I just saw that on Facebook.
And what's crazy is my friends back home who don't know anything about Herald Night or Herald auditions mm-hmm. are liking it. A friend of mine who's in a wheelchair wrote, you know, thank you so much. I needed that so much today. Another friend of mine who just had a really serious operation yesterday liked it. It's like perspective. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's maybe it's for you because you didn't get on a Herald team, or maybe it's for you because you just had a very serious surgery. Whatever it is, like, God, I don't know. I didn't audition this year, you know?
Yeah.
I was,
okay.
And I have to say, it felt really nice today not to be staring, like refreshing my email every 25 seconds.
Yeah.
It really did. And that's not to say I won't audition next year. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Because like I said, everyone has a different path. And like if last year on this day, I would have said, I'm definitely auditioning next year. Like I wouldn't have any idea that I would have gone to the hospital in that time, that I would have gone to Europe. I would have finally gone to Italy in that time. Mm-hmm. I mean, so much has happened to me this year. I had no clue any of it was going to. That I would be on the UCB show. I mean, last year, the season one, I was in the audience just looking at those comics going like, wow, God, I hope I get to do this like within 3 or 4 years. Like, that's my goal. And then I was doing it the very next year, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and now look, okay, so I'm not on Herald team, but I'm doing this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm still a performer at the theater, you know?
Yeah, you're still very much a part of the theater. You're still doing things.
Yeah.
You're doing probably more creatively than you would have if you were still on a team. And just to talk a little bit about that, like one thing that I always tell my 301s and 401s this. I haven't taught 301 in a while, but I always tell 401, if your goal is to be on a UCB Herald team, reevaluate that goal. Because, well, you know what? If you audition, you get on a team, well, that's a beautiful thing. But mm-hmm. it's not all you think it's going to be. It's a lot of pressure. It's an expense.
Yeah.
There's like you have to rehearse a lot. You're not going to have time, you know, a lot of time to do other things.
Yeah.
There are many beautiful things about it of becoming a family with seven other people. But sometimes it's not like that at all. Sometimes you don't like everybody.
Yeah, that's another huge secret that some people don't realize.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't like everybody on your team. Sometimes you get placed with a person that you're like, like, you might not even think they're funny. You might not want to work with them.
And you have no control over the situation.
Mm-mm.
So you have to know how great it can be, but you also kind of have to know how shitty it can be. But also, you do have the power and the control to create a team that you love, and that should be your primary focus.
Yeah.
And that should be, you should really think of that as your team, the team that you create full of your friends, and let that be the fun thing rather than investing so much on being on Herald Night.
And another thing, Herald is one form of improv. Some people can be awesome at improv and not be a master at the Herald.
Right?
And that's okay, too. I love mono scenes.
Yeah,
me
too.
I love them.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I want to take your mono scene class, too.
Oh, I hope you do.
I love them, you know? So there are no UCB mono teams or whatever. So mm-hmm. I can't audition for that. I like musical improv, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's other things besides
the Herald,
which I know that's what UCB, you know, I understand.
Right. It's the foundation because it's fucking hard.
It is hard.
It is really, really hard.
And a good one is very satisfying.
Oh, it is so sad. It really, really is. But how good does it feel to do another form when you kind of break out of the Herald? Right, Marla? Like, how good does it feel to not do the Herald after you've only done Herald for a while? It feels so good.
It does. It's nice. It's like, somebody told me one time that, you know, the 101 is like you walk into a gym and there's basketballs all over the floor and everybody starts playing and having so much fun with these basketballs. And then 201, someone comes in and blows a whistle and says, all right, these are the rules. And now all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay. And some people are good at it and some, you know, some people are better at whatever, horse or...
Right. The more complex it gets, the harder it gets, the more people kind of fall away.
Yeah. And it's... And I like to do it. I definitely like to do it. I'm not saying I hate it, but it's not the only thing. And
it's because people mythologize what it is to be on a Herald team.
Yeah.
And also coming from the side of like as somebody who watches auditions, mm-hmm. like I'll see somebody who I know is a good improviser mm-hmm. crumble. and fall apart
right.
because they've put all this pressure on themselves, and it's just not worth that. I think that the audition process, it's not a fun thing. But the less that you care about it, and the more you're like, okay,
yeah,
if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, doesn't. The better you are in the long run.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying. Who knows what's going to happen next year? Because mm-hmm. this year I just didn't feel like was the year. You know, I just didn't feel right about it. Like, I didn't want to think about it. I knew if I did it, I'd be thinking about it. I didn't feel like that was good for my health. I mean, and it is hard. Like you said, it is a lot of pressure. I remember, like, last year when I was on a team feeling like, God, I was exhausted and all of this stuff. And I was like, wow, being on a Herald team is so hard. And then, like, turns out I was really sick, like the whole, like most of the time.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know because I was more concerned about what was going on with the Herald. Like, I didn't realize my body was sick because I was just blaming everything on, you know, how stressed out I was, because you really are, everyone's watching you. I mean, I was more concerned about what my coach was thinking, what my teammates were thinking, what the audience was thinking, what the AD was thinking, than what I was feeling and thinking. Mm,
oh, that's such a good point. Like, that is such a good point. Like, the anxiety of worrying about what everybody else is thinking about what you're doing is such a waste of time.
It is. That's why I'm saying being in the hospital for 3 months was such a blessing to me, because it said, hey, you need to worry about yourself only right now. Mm-hmm. Just you. Figure out you. And you know what I mean? And that I had no choice in that hospital but to focus on my own health and my own sanity and whatever was going to make me feel good. And that's what I did for 3 months. And then it gave me the perspective. And that's why I was confident enough this year right now to say, actually, I don't want to audition for a Herald team this year. Mm-hmm, you know? And mm-hmm.
take that year off.
It can change. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But I felt like, whereas I feel like I may have felt pressured in the past to be like, if I don't do it, then they're going to think I don't want to do it, or blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just feel like I wanted to focus on a few other things this year and not put myself, you know, like, I don't even want to know right now if I would have or wouldn't have made it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to even know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Let's talk a little bit about that process just to demystify, because I think it's a very... I think it's a very imperfect process, and I think everybody and every AD like does their best to try to make it as easy and to make it as fair for everybody. But I think ultimately it's probably like not fair.
Yeah, it's tough. Everybody has their, you know, different theories of how it should be. You know,
I will say that years ago in New York, when we created a team, a really great team called Police Chief Rumble, we did an audition process that was my favorite audition process, uh-huh. but it was the one that hurt the most feelings uh-huh. because it was invite only. And we invited maybe 60 people. I mean, this was a much smaller community then.
Yeah.
And had a day where we rented out space where we did like a different version, different team versions.
Right.
So like this, these eight people would play together and then we would mix it up and
okay.
it would be a different eight people. And it was like a 4 hour day, four
That's
or five
fun.
Hour day where we just kind of did a workshop. And it was great because it wasn't just seeing somebody do two scenes.
Yeah, that sounds really great.
It was seeing people do Harolds and seeing people do scenes all in the same day. So you really got a taste
yes.
of what they could do. People were so angry.
Oh my God.
Were so mad. And so we didn't keep that process, obviously. So what do you think would be the most fair way to create a team?
I don't know. It's hard because it's a hobby, right? It's our passion. So could you imagine if someone came to your house and picked up your scrapbook and said, you know what? You're not doing this right. You have to – this is not the best scrapbook you can do, you know? It's like this is – it's supposed to be fun, you know? Mm-hmm. So what is the best – I don't know. I go back and forth. Sometimes I think maybe it should only be for a year for everybody. Sometimes I think mm-hmm. – I couldn't even begin to try to fix it. I don't know.
Just once, I would love to see an audition where established teams, like independent teams,
yeah.
audition all as a team.
Yeah, that's another. But I also like feel like teachers. I like this invite only thing because it makes me feel like teachers know, right? Like 401 and advanced teachers could probably make a team without seeing an audition, couldn't they?
Oh, yeah. Oh, easily. But like I said, when I said before about seeing somebody that you know is amazing see them audition and crumble, I know that person is what they're capable of.
Yeah.
And yes, I think that we could do that. But sometimes there are different points of view in the room because some people feel like, well, if you can't serve it in the audition, you can't serve it on the stage. And I don't believe
that
because I think we are all inconsistent. We are all inconsistent.
I've seen everybody like kind of suck
I've seen
in.
Everybody yeah. have a shitty day.
Of course.
And
it's once a year. It's not fair.
But I think on the same token, you kind of have to have that philosophy a little bit only because we have 700 people auditioning
yeah.
and not everybody can be on a team.
No.
But it breaks my heart every year. Like,
do you think maybe if there were a few other audition things, like it wasn't just Harold, maybe if, you know, mm-hmm. 2 or 3 months from now, there was like a mono scene team, or I know that one of the musical improv teams had an audition process recently,
uh-huh.
and that was really cool. Maybe like if we didn't put so many eggs in the Harold basket.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think that is something that kind of came along with Mess Hall, maybe.
Yeah.
I was relieved with Mess Hall when Mess Hall started just to have more opportunities for people. But I think Mess Hall was also like, I don't know. I think that still needs to gather momentum.
But and also they're all Harold teams again. Maybe
yeah.
maybe Mess Hall could be a Harold team, a mono scene team.
Oh, a different form. A Laurent
team, a mm-hmm. Slacker, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this way you would go in and audition and people and you could be placed on whatever your strength is.
Oh, that's a really interesting idea.
I think that's
a really, really interesting idea to have
yeah.
like more form.
Yeah, an audience interview team or a
– because
like I love interviewing.
A documentary team, a
yeah.
movie team.
Yeah, why the heck – like we have all of these classes that teach us how to do these things.
Different
so
things.
Why the hell do we just ignore them afterwards?
That is such a good idea.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Yeah, that's what I think. And also with UCB Sunset now and the Inner Sanctum, there's so many – mm-hmm. opportunities and places to perform, you know? There's
yeah.
so many stages. It's not just UCB Franklin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And 7 days in a week, and there's so many time slots, and there's so many stages. So why are we all just focused on this one thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it's also, it's a social thing. Right? It's like this, it's
yeah,
in a way, you feel the way... I think what it's become, it's like it is the like social heart in a way of the theater. And but I agree that there are so many other things and opportunities that we can be doing that it doesn't have to be the primary focus.
Yeah, like some of my favorite teams at UCB are not doing Heralds, you know?
Yeah.
They're mm-hmm. just doing like Facebook is not a Herald team, you know, or Wild Horses. I mean, for a while.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. So I don't know. And Wild Horses is made up of what? Someone who got cut from a Herald team. Someone, two people mm-hmm. that got, and three people that got graduated. Is that what it is? I think something like that. Mm-hmm. And all at different times. So, you know, that's what I mean. I feel like it's the formula. It's like A plus B doesn't always equal C. So
no.
It's confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I think that's true. And I think that, like, being on the side of like somebody who's watched auditions, mm-hmm. like a frighteningly large number of auditions, you have people that you're rooting for. You have your favorites. You have people that you really want to see succeed, and everybody has those people that they coach.
Yeah.
Or I mean, Lord knows with boot camp, like that, mm-hmm. there's a lot of those people. And so sometimes maybe when we're watching the auditions, that we have to have as open a mind as we possibly can have, which sometimes, it's hard to do.
You're humans. How much of the, like, truthfully, how much of that audition, I mean, is there any leeway when you know someone if they have a shitty audition?
Oh, I think in the initial audition process, yes, that there is that leeway. But in the callback, it's a lot harder if you don't do well. I almost said shit the bed, and I hate that phrase.
Right.
But if you don't kill your callback, or if you don't really shine, then that's you're going to have a harder time being placed on a team.
Ay, ay, ay.
And that's just the math of it, you know.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate.
Well, and also it's so subjective. I mean, who's
yes.
everyone's favorite? You know,
right?
There's, you know, today, just like last year, I've heard some shocking news to me. And then, you know, people have said to me, can you believe so-and-so? And I'm like, yeah, I can. You know, we all have different and then like, it's just everybody has different opinions.
Yes, yes.
So it's hard.
So many opinions.
But that's why it's good that there's committees and you know, it's...
Yeah, I think that helps keep
yeah.
it. If it were just one person, and we've have had those times where yeah. where it's just one person, but I don't know that those are the best teams.
Yeah.
In any case, so we have some people. I'm sure some people today. I know that this is going to be airing in January.
Right.
So maybe some people will be listening to this, remembering back to how they felt 3 months ago. And I know that you had this life-changing episode in the hospital right after you got cut from the Herald team.
Yeah.
But what can people do to feel better today?
Okay, whatever that thing is that you haven't had time to do, start doing that. If you always wanted to write a solo show, if you wanted to take a stand-up class or like I said, get in, you know, start looking out for an advanced different form, you know, mm-hmm. just for fun. Try musical theater, try movie form, whatever. Mm-hmm. Try something different. Keep going to shows. It's like,
yes, don't drop out of the community.
Don't drop out. You get from this community what you put in, and mm-hmm. you do. So, you know, don't be fake, but put on a brave face, you know, be happy for, I don't know. I remember like 2 years ago, I was sitting at brunch with two of my friends and I got on a team and they didn't. Mm. Last year, same three friends, I was taken off. One was put on and one wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
This year, if we go to brunch tomorrow, two of us will have been cut and the third one is now on.
Oh.
Over the course of 3 years. And I'm not even kidding.
Yeah.
Do you
yeah.
know? So
that sounds like it.
So you don't. So even if you did get on a team, just have fun and don't change. I hate when people get on a team and all of a sudden they're like too cool for school. I can't stand that. And uh-huh. by the way, people notice when you do that.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry to be mm-hmm. like real right now. But I feel like when you do that, it's like not cool. Do you mm-hmm. know? Have you noticed? Do you notice that sometimes?
Oh, yeah. Yes and no. Like, usually after the fact, only because I'm not so mm-hmm. enmeshed, you know, in Herald Night. But I've I've heard of such things.
I don't like that.
No.
You don't know. You never, nobody knows, and nobody's better. Nobody's better than anyone, but then it's like, well, you're the best, so that's why we chose you. It's so hard. It's yeah. just hard. The thing is, like I said, it's subjective. Some of my favorite improvisers are not on Harold teams, and every single person can say that in this
yes.
community.
Yeah. So yeah, I know that I certainly can.
From Amy, like, from Matt Besser to, you know, to a 101 student.
Yeah.
Everyone will say that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know a lot of super funny. In fact, some of the people that I find the funniest are not on teams.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just the nature of it.
Yeah. So my advice is start doing whatever. Like, stand up was something I always wanted to do, but I never felt like I had time.
Oh,
so
good.
Then I really, after, you know, I put a lot of effort into it after, you know, I was no longer on a Harold team. And then, you know, I got to do it on this great platform, and it was so fun, and I had a stylist and everything, and I loved it, you know, and it was awesome. So I don't know if I would have taken the time to do that if I hadn't been given the gift of time. That, oh, God.
Tell me this. Did you ever perform or do any performance stuff in college before you came to L.A.?
Not really. I was in an acting class, but I wasn't, like, you know, in the Mason Gross part of Rutgers, which is, like, the acting part.
Yeah.
I wasn't a student, you know, in the acting school, but I took some classes. And then when I was in high school, I was, like, a student teacher for the acting teacher, so I'd help her. And
oh, really?
Yeah. And I always really, like, loved acting, and mm-hmm. I love teaching, I love coaching. You know, I just, like, love all that. I've always loved that.
Did you, were you a comedy fan?
Yeah.
As a child? So what did you like as it when you were a kid?
Well, SNL I was always allowed to watch, mm-hmm. you know, Seinfeld, which when you rewatch as an adult, when I rewatch it, I'm like, I did not get this at all. I was just laughing because of the laugh track because I was little, you know,
uh-huh, uh-huh.
But I was always allowed and it was so funny. Oh, Golden Girls was a huge show for me. And actually what I found when I was doing the ABC showcase is funny because someone, you know, when I was getting my notes, they said one of the things that they loved about, you know, my style is watching my face after when someone else is delivering lines. And I swear I got that from Bea Arthur. Like, I swear I didn't know. I was too young to understand, you know, what they were saying. But I knew that every time she made a face, the laugh track came on. And I feel like I got that from her, you know?
Oh, that's interesting.
So it influenced my style, I'm sure.
Yeah, Golden Girls is like the perfect half-hour comedy show because, like, it's especially character-wise, it just writes itself.
And it holds up.
Oh, it holds up so beautifully.
Are you kidding? I know.
I feel like Golden Girls is more popular now than it was then.
Maybe. It I used to be. Watch it, me, 4 years old, and my grandmother didn't speak English at all. And we were both hysterically laughing watching it.
That's know? So funny.
It is. I know.
Before I go to bed at night, mm-hmm. my favorite thing to do is to have like an end of the day pre-shut eye Golden Girls episode.
Oh, yeah.
And then I go to bed.
Yeah, it's like warm milk. It's such a comfort show.
Yeah, not that it's boring, but no. it's to me instead of like maybe meditating, I'll watch an episode of Golden Girls.
Totally. Yeah, In fact, that's what I did when I got out of the hospital. That was my celebration. And you were there.
Oh my God!
It
yes.
was the Golden Girls.
Golden Girls live.
Live, with in drag.
Yeah,
it was so funny.
Which was so much fun.
I know. Yeah. I also really liked. Roseanne growing up.
Oh, and that's a great show.
It's also another one that holds up if you watch now. And I always loved like the campy, like Full House and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I always loved that as a kid. Yeah, and Friends I feel like was to me like a very clean, another like pretty good like formulaic.
Did you have favorite comedians?
Yeah. Oh, I love Ellen. I loved Ellen's stand up.
Mm-hmm.
When I loved Dana Carvey growing
yeah.
up. Yeah. Kevin Nealon. Norm MacDonald. I love his like dry. I just love his face. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Cause you know, I'm from the East Coast, you know, I don't know. I love that. I love those like dry comedians like that. They always make me laugh so much. But Ellen's two HBO specials are probably my fave to watch still to this day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just really liked Mulaney's recent one. I forget what it's called, but it was so funny.
Yeah, that was really good. The one that's on Netflix right now.
Yeah,
it's really good.
So funny. Yeah, I mean, I could go on, but and what's awesome now is getting to be, you know, going to a UCB party and being in the same room with some of these people. It's like insane to me. It's such a dream come true. I like, I love it. It's so cool. Sarah Silverman. I remember when I did my solo show, the first time I was performing it, I watched Aziz Ansari's, one of his more recent Netflix shows as like a pump up. You know, I just watched it because he's kind of a storytelling comic. And then when I got to UCB in the green room, he was in the green room because he had just finished performing right before my show.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, this is only here, you know?
Yeah.
How cool.
Really, right?
Yeah.
Only here. I had him in 301.
Oh!
He was still in college.
Was he good?
Yeah, oh, yeah. He was very funny. It was in that same class. It was him and Dominic Dirkus.
Oh.
Who were both still college students.
I think Dominic Dirkus went... No, wait. Did he go to my high school? Or was that... I may be getting him confused with someone else.
Oh, yeah. He's Dom's from Tennessee, I think.
Okay, so no.
So what would you have – what advice would you give for students? Like not – we're not talking necessarily about auditions.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say we have a 201 or 101, 201, even a 301 student out there who is still learning the ropes. And maybe they're on the periphery of the community. Like, how can that person get more involved? And what advice would you give that student?
Well, I just went to a lot of shows. I think I...
Gosh, isn't that good advice?
It is.
You learn so much by watching.
You do. Yeah. And I would say, you know, don't just go to Herald Night. Definitely go see the Smokes. Definitely go see, you know, some of the... audience interview teams, whichever ones, you know, whichever theme you like, participate in them. If you have a crazy story that you want to, you know, it's fun. It's so fun to tell a story and then watch it, you know, played out on stage. So just like I said, you get out what you put in. So continue to go to shows, support people, go to other class shows. I don't know. I even reached out to different performers and took them out to dinner when I had certain questions.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I would, you know, like when I was thinking about...
Brain picking.
Yeah, brain picking and networking. And it's part of the LA thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And some people are just better at it. I don't have to be a very social... I feel bad. Some people just aren't that social or they feel weird. But, I mean, I'll volunteer myself if you ever want to, you know, don't feel weird approaching me. I feel like... A lot of people are happy to do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Some people may not want to, but a lot of people are happy to do it. And we've all been on, you know, we've all started somewhere. So, yeah, I think that my advice is just it's such a well-rounded theater. There's so many things to do and see. And so you never know. You never know, like, where you're going to end up or what is going to be your thing.
Yeah, like I think that all of that is helpful. I know that, like, seeing shows.
Yeah,
when I started doing this, I got like addicted. It was like crack.
Yeah, me too.
I had to see. I saw a show every night. I saw it all the time. I went to every ASCAT like for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like I went all the time. And in terms of getting better, I would like focus on. I'd focus on a performer.
Mm.
Like I would focus on like Andy Daly, who's somebody that I loved, or I'd focus on Miriam Tolan, who was a really terrific improviser and the wife of Brian Stack. And I would watch her or I'd watch Tina or Amy, and I'd be like, I would learn so much, and sometimes you can steal. You know, little bits of behavior or how
sure
it, like this is it's all fair game.
Sure.
find a performer you really love watching and watch the fuck out of that performer.
Yeah, and something I used to do when I got into the upper levels is I would watch a show and then I would, in my head, think of what would be my second beat.
Oh, that's a good...
When I would watch a Harold, mm-hmm. I'd think, what would be my second beat? Or if it were more like a monologue or some sort of an audience participation show, I would think, okay, what would I pull? And then it would be fun to be like, Lauren Lapkus pulled the same thing as me or whatever, you know? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's like, it's exciting, it's rewarding, and it lets you know you're on the right track.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So at this stage in the game where you've been on a team and then you've not been on a team and you've been living your life, I know that you just had a fantastic vacation in Europe.
Yeah.
So tell us, how was that?
Oh, it was awesome. I had never been. I'm like one of the most Italian girls you'll meet in California. And I had never been to Italy yet. And it was like about time.
Yeah. Your photos were really, really great.
Thank you.
Like, what keeps you, other than this community, what keeps you in this comedy community?
Well, you know, one thing I love is, so, you know, I'm in a wheelchair. And one thing I love about improv in particular is that you know, it doesn't matter, right? Mm-hmm. Because if in the scene we're climbing a mountain, it's not like they're going to believe that the other person in the scene is climbing the mountain, but I'm not. You know, it's like we're all pretending here. And I love that. It just makes me feel like I'm on an even playing field because we're all pretending to you know, run on a treadmill. No, nobody really is. Yeah. So it doesn't matter, right? So that's something I love. When it comes to stand-up, I love that. And storytelling and sketch writing, I love that I can take my own experiences. Actually, in improv. Why not? In comedy. Okay? So, yeah. I love that I can take my own experiences. And, you know, yeah, I am from New Jersey, and I am Italian, and I am in a wheelchair. And, you know, I am a product of double divorce. Like, I have my things that make me. Mm-hmm. And those specifics that come out of that are what make me, what make me the performer that I am and what will make people be a fan or not a fan of my comedy, you know? And that's, specifics are so important. One of the things I think, one of the reasons that I got cut from Harold Knight is one of the notes I got was like, they weren't seeing enough Santina. They just weren't seeing enough of me. And that is because I think of what happened to me when I got placed on a team. I started worrying too much about, like we talked about earlier, what everyone else was going to think was funny. And you cannot lose that. You have to bring in your own life, your own specifics. If you think it's funny or if you remember it, there's a reason, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So just do that. Don't worry about what your team, you know, I mean, of course you have to worry about your team. That's not what I mean. But
don't worry about somebody else's idea about what you're talking about, other people's opinions about what you're doing.
Or yeah, or what they think is funny. Yes, exactly. Exactly. So that's, I think, what I love. What keeps me in this comedy game is that I know I have a unique perspective. Mm-hmm. I know that, you know, there's not many people out there exactly. There's no one out there exactly like me, but there's not really many people like me at all. And, you know, I'm a member of the diversity committee, and mm-hmm. I think it's really, really important to keep fostering diversity. I want to see more people with disabilities mm-hmm. on television and, you know, playing the parts, not being played by people without disabilities.
Yes.
And that's a goal of mine. And it's been a long standing goal. And I feel like, you know, being in this comedy world has brought me closer to it. And I also feel like, you know, with my solo show and stuff, I've loved to be able to kind of educate people and through my stand up and through my comedy. You know, one of my big like things is I tell people not to use the handicapped stall, you know, unless there's certain exceptions and I talk about them in my show. But I can't tell you how many people have come up to me and said, oh, I saw your solo show, or I've heard your stand up and I'm never going to use that stall again. And it's like, funny, but also I tricked them into learning something, you know? Uh-huh. And like I said, I used to work for a nonprofit, but I always kind of felt like I was preaching to the choir then. I feel like the best way to educate people in our society is through pop culture, through media, through entertainment. It's just the best way, mm-hmm. you know? And I'm so happy to be able to be one of the people that are hopefully doing that and creating an easier time for, you know, younger people who are in wheelchairs. Maybe if I can get put on a show or do something where I'm the girlfriend or I'm whatever, uh-huh. maybe that's going to help some girl get asked to her prom, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And these things, 'cause, you know, it does dictate pop culture dictates our society. It just does. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so happy to be able to be a part of that. And recently, the part I had on Comedy Bang Bang had nothing to do with me being in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. And I was so proud of that.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
That's totally huge.
And I don't mind doing parts where the joke has to do with the wheelchair. That's fun, too. But I love being able to just be chosen just because they're like, oh, you know who's funny? Santina,
yeah, and not have anything to do with the fact
that
you're in a wheelchair.
And I think that's important. I think it's important for people to see, because when I was younger, I saw in the background of a Beverly Hills 90210 episode, in the background, I saw a girl in a wheelchair just like stroll through the college. And I thought, oh my God, I could go to college in California?
Yeah,
it's very
powerful. Very powerful.
It is. I don't think we realize. I mean, mm-hmm. It's very powerful. And I just want to be able to do that for people.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
There's that new show.
Speechless. With Speechless, John, right? Ross Bowie.
Yeah. I know. And that's going to make a huge... I'm really, really excited for that show. And I really want that show to succeed.
Yeah.
And everything that I've heard from advance word from people is that it's just terrific.
Great.
It's so well done. Yeah. It's really, really.
Well, by now it will have been in.
Oh yeah. By now. Oh God. Let's cross our fingers looking into the future.
I know.
Let's cross our fingers.
Oh my gosh.
That it's,
and that show is doing so well, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's such a shame about that show. Okay. Now you have choices. I don't know.
How's your improv changed?
Well, you know, okay, so in the beginning, I think I was very trying to emulate just watching people and say, mm-hmm. "Oh, this is how you do improv. Oh, this is how you do improv." And then I got to the point where I was playing myself, doing improv, right, mm-hmm. and bringing myself into it. And then I got to a point where the pressure was on, and I went back to, "Oh, how do I do it? What should I do? What do people want me to do?" And now the pressure is a little bit off again, and I'm back to, I feel, playing as myself again, which is the best zone. If you can mm-hmm. get in that zone and stay in that zone, great. But, you know, everyone plateaus. People ask me all the time, you know, when I was on a team, like, did you ever feel like, you know, just like all of a sudden you weren't good anymore or something? Totally. That happens to everybody, right? Don't you get those like ups and downs?
Oh, all the time. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, oh, still all the time. Like you go through periods where you just hate what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, also, you know, one thing that I don't think people really talk about, and this relates to being on to Herald teams and whatnot, but there is something about like when you're doing improv, when you start taking class and when you're in this thing that doesn't feel comfortable, that really feels like high school.
I know.
And like I started doing this, I was already over 30, and then I was like, why am I having this feeling?
Right.
Why am I having this feeling I haven't had since, you know, I was 16? I don't like this, but I kind of like this, and yet I don't like this. I mean, it was a lot of that, and I don't think that's something that we really acknowledge. And also, it's so supportive. It can be so supportive, but it can also be so petty. You know?
Yes.
It's that mix of random of feelings that just come from all over the place.
Yeah. One of the things I was concerned about when I was taken off a team was like, wait, so am I not going to get invited to these parties anymore?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know? And like when I was on my mess hall team and then I had to go off, they made a new text message chain that day. And I, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I wasn't on it because they have to. They have to plan things.
Right.
And yada. But yeah, there's such a social aspect to it. That's,
yes.
It's scary. It's like I used to hang out every week with like Jacob Wysocki, who I love. He's one of my great friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like great to know. I'm going to see him every week. I'm going to see him every week. Then you get pulled off the team with him. And now you have to like actually make an effort to hang out with, you know what I mean? He's still like my friend and everything. But it was so easy to know. Well, I'm going to see him on this day. I'm going to see him on that day.
Yeah, you have to work harder to make things happen. Yeah, it's funny like in this comedy community because there's this the social game, but you do have a lot of people who are socially challenged, mm-hmm. who like their social skills are not that great.
Right, I know.
It's such a funny, like, for a team sport, like watching somebody learn to have better social skills,
yeah,
is an interesting thing to kind of behold.
Yeah, and that's one of the things too about Harold's teams is that it's a team. It's a Harold team.
It is a team. It's like a sport, yeah.
But at the end of the day, you can be cut from that team, yeah. You personally. So it's a weird balance of standing out and not sticking out, mm-hmm. You know? It's weird. It's mm-hmm. hard.
We're coming close to the end, but I want to talk a little bit. You mentioned the mono scene before. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the mono scene and performing within the mono scene. Do you have a strategy when you're on stage there, or do you have a what can you do as an improviser to have the most successful kind of mono scene?
Well, the thing I love about mono scenes, and I wish I could play like this always, but is how patient it is. You yeah. know, I just love just starting out patiently. And then I love finding, I feel like it's the time I rest my game the most. Right. Mm-hmm. And I'll just rest it. And then you really wait. You don't think as much. You wait for an opportunity. And when something comes up, you know, you play your game and you're not like fisting it in, I feel like, as much as you
right,
are.
Right. You're not having to ham fist. Yeah.
Exactly.
It has to feel natural.
Yeah. And it's, and also I really like, that's the time I'm gift giving the most. You know, I love when someone leaves the room and you're like, oh, well, you know, so-and-so just, you know, divorced her, whatever, her sister's brother's, whatever it is. So you give them some gift and it's like, it's almost like the mono scene has like more little like cues for you to do your job mm-hmm. or something. You know, when someone leaves, you should be gifting them, right? You know, when someone gifts you, I don't know, it just feels like it's more patient. So you're not panicking and you're thinking more. And I just always feel like I find the best ways to play my game in a mono scene because they're not forced.
Right. And because they're usually character games.
Exactly.
You know, it's all like a point of view. It's
yeah.
just a lot of fun.
It's fun.
A lot of fun to play and a lot of fun to commit to.
Yeah. And you really get to like live in it and you get to really know the other characters. And I always love when it like feels like it's going somewhere and it wraps up or it has some sort of big mm-hmm. bang at the end. It's so fun. Mm-hmm. It's so fun.
Do you have a favorite mono scene team that you've seen?
I mean, I used to love watching the Smokes do mono scenes. I would go every single Monday, like every Monday mm-hmm. for like 25 Mondays. I think I was like so sad when I missed one. I'm like, no. But yeah, they're so patient. Oh, Deserinsky.
Oh, they're the best.
They did a mono scene once that I just couldn't believe my eyes.
Yeah, like they are amazing. And I always tell my classes to go to see them because they've been working together for over, you know, 20 years. And they don't do a classic mono scene because they'll take these little tangential breaks, but they always go back to the main scene.
Like a pretty flower?
It's sort of. Yeah, okay. They're pretty much a mono scene. But I think their patience and the way that they play the game, especially as it's wrapping up, the way that they call back information.
Yes.
Holy shit. It's such an inspiration. Crazy. They're so much fun to watch.
Yeah. Their memories are.
Yeah. They're incredible.
Also, I like Toledo Rep. I think it's fun what they do with their theater performance and they have these characters. I also love the Thanksgiving show.
Oh, thank you.
I love that. And I love.
That's my favorite show.
I love it. I love anything where you can kind of come in with a kooky character that we mm-hmm. all know. You know, we mm-hmm. all know that aunt or we all know that neighbor, whatever it is. I just love that.
Oh, it's my favorite show.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's so good.
It's the best.
Yeah.
I won't go out of town at Thanksgiving because I don't want to miss that show.
Yeah, it's good. I don't blame you.
That's how important that show is to me. All right, everybody. Well, that was a long form conversation. Tune in to our next episode when Santina will be your host and you'll be interviewing somebody. remember that you can see Santina on reruns of Comedy Bang Bang yeah. or on season 2 of the UCB show on CISO doing stand-up. That's it. I'm Julie Brister. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye. Thank you.
You've been listening to the UCB Long Form Conversations podcast on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and review at itunes.com/UCB Comedy. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center. Find cutting edge comedy videos on YouTube and Vimeo at UCB Comedy. Find our live shows at UCBtheater.com and connect with us on social media at UCB Comedy.